And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And to take a look at the opening markets on this very first trading day in Chicago from the CME Group, where futures opened at 8:30 a.m. Central Time for the first time, and nearby wheat futures are 2¾ cents lower now at 6:02½. The March corn at 4:22¾, up 3/4. December at next year at 4:50¾, that's up ½ cent. January beans at $13.25, down 12¼. And next year's November contract trading at $11.32¾, down 2¼. Bean meal down 4.20. Bean oil down 24 cents. Live cattle futures are down about 45 cents for the day. Feeders are up, or rather down, about 57 cents. And lean hogs are the bright spot. They're up 45 cents on the afternoon. A quick look at the national average basis for the corn, which was up a penny overnight at 19 cents under the March futures. The DTN National Corn Index down a penny at $4.03. That's the cash price for corn. The national average basis for soybeans down a penny at 29 cents under the March contract. And the DTN Soybean Index says 17 cents lower for the day at $12.64. The national average basis for the hard red winter wheat up a penny. And the actual cash trade at $6.20. That's about 21 cents under, by the way, the March contract. We'll have more on the marketplace in, well, just about 4 minutes or so. We'll talk with Ellen Dearden. She's at AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Now, here is the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Bitter cold temperatures will likely overrun the entire Midwest as we move forward through the second half of the coming weekend and through the first half of next week. These temperatures will likely get to be record or near record low levels and will likely have a big impact on transportation and energy consumption as we go forward through the period of time. The forecast does not generate a tremendous amount of storminess for the Midwest. The air is just becoming more and more dry. A storm system moved through the Midwest here over the last 24 hours and will continue in the eastern Midwest and up the Atlantic coast here today and will likely generate some significant snowfall. A second disturbance will likely evolve as we move into the weekend ahead of the bitter cold outbreak that is expected, but it will not have a lot of moisture to work with, and the amount of snow that occurs from that system will probably be somewhat restricted. With that said, though, I wouldn't be surprised to see a fairly well-organized low-pressure system develop in the Tennessee Basin or portions of the Ohio River Basin and work its way from there into the northeastern U.S. for a second storm system in a one-week period of time. The two storm systems will cause some trouble with travel across the easternmost Midwest and certainly the middle and north Atlantic coastal region, and we'll likely continue to monitor that rather closely. These two storm systems will certainly cause some air travel delays as well as creating an environment for stronger energy consumption across the interior northeastern part of the U.S. as well as most of the Midwest as temperatures plummet to their extreme cold. Just how cold will it be? Well, temperatures will probably drop below minus 40 in portions of Minnesota and North Dakota. Negative 20s and negative 30s will occur across the rest of the northern plains and portions of Wisconsin. We'll see sub-zero readings down to southern Kansas, southern Missouri, portions of the Ohio River Valley. Wouldn't surprise me to see some negative temperatures just slightly south of this region, perhaps reaching the northernmost fringes of the Delta. And some single-digit readings will be possible across the Tennessee River Basin if they manage to get some snow to fall across that region, which I think is still a possibility. Putting snow on the ground in the Tennessee River Basin while a bitter cold air mass comes into the Midwest raises potential for issues in the southeastern corner of the U.S. Perhaps citrus areas in Florida will experience some freezing conditions during the early part of next week. In the meantime, there will not be any serious threat to the winter wheat crop in the Midwest because of recent snowfall and that which is yet to come. The odds are relatively good that we'll end up with a fair amount of protection for the wheat in the Midwest. The plains may be a little different story since the coldest air may not bring a significant amount of precipitation. precipitation into some of the hard red winter wheat country, and a close monitoring of that area will be warranted. But it also looks like the temperatures will probably not be as cold there as they will be in the heart of the Midwest. A close monitoring of that situation is certainly warranted. Well, the temperatures as we transition into the bitter cold will likely generate a strong wind as well. Some windy conditions will occur across the Midwest, first from the south. This will occur as we go through the day tomorrow, and those southerly winds will bring warm and moist air into the middle of the country, setting the stage for that second storm system of size to possibly develop across the eastern U.S. And then the cold air will come in, and a strong low pressure system will evolve, and as the cold air settles in, we'll have strong northerly winds. In both cases, the wind speeds will probably be sustained at 15 to 30 miles per hour, with the strongest winds in the upper parts of the Midwest, where extreme wind chills will be possible. We'll look for some improvement in the weather outlook as we move forward in time. In the meantime, portions of Argentina have received some significant rainfall overnight, easing them out of a really stressful dryness situation. However, much more precipitation is still needed in parts of the country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Our thanks go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the agricultural weather forecast from around the growing regions. Now let's take a look at what those numbers are trading like in Chicago. Once again, March wheat at $6.03, down 2 1/4. The March corn at $4.23 1/4, pinning 1/4 higher. December there at $4.51, up 3/4. January beans, $12.99 3/4, down 12 3/4. The March down 8 at $12.84 1/2. And next year's November at $11.32 1/2. The new crop down 2 1/4. Bean meal at $4.32.90, down 4.80. Bean oil at $38.72. That's a dime lower at this hour. On the phone line with us this morning to take a look at how the trade is moving in the first hour of this brand new year is Ellen Dearden. She's at AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning to you, Ellen.
Morning, Todd.
Well, talk about the first day of trade so far. I suspect it's probably been kind of quiet.
So far, it has been. I think that you have to be a little disappointed in how the bean markets acted this morning, with January beans having slipped under $13. It's psychologically kind of a negative in here. We've seen a lot of bear spreading in the beans. I thought at the end of the year it was all unwinding of the bull spreads, but this looks like it's getting a little bit more interesting to see these bear spreads working in the beans.
Yeah, so what it tells you is that the end of the year could have just been all unwinding and settling up, but if you've got fresh bear spreading, that means people are really kind of bearish at this time.
A little negative in here, I would think. Certainly the meal didn't hold up at the end of last week, and that had been the big driver of higher prices, and the bean oil's just kind of on its so-so course with $38.50, kind of a supportive area, $38, more support.
Have you thought much about next week's USDA report and which changes might come?
Well, I think the trade right now has larger corn yields and probably smaller acreage figured in. So on the supply side, a larger crop, but probably on the demand side, larger as well, both on the livestock feeding and also ethanol use. We could see a bump up, too, in exports, and I certainly think we'll see a bump up in exports on the bean side. Probably not a lot of change on the supply end of things on beans. And I'm talking on the domestic crop now.
Right. So you're actually feeling pretty confident that we'll have more demand in export and feed. That would be an awfully good sign, I would think.
I would think so, too. And somebody pointed out to me the other day that it's sure a lot easier spilling some feed when they're looking at $4 corn than it was when they had $7 corn. And we've seen a big shift from DDGs, particularly in the livestock, in the cattle feeding areas to the west, to back to whole corn, especially in the last month's time.
Yeah, do you suppose that has much of a difference in how much consumption actually comes into the corn market? And where do the extra DDGs go that aren't being used?
Well, those DDGs primarily will be exported. And a lot of these plants along the river, the ethanol plants along the river, are really tuned into that export market. But it's going to be a little difficult moving stuff by barge with these cold temperatures.
Okay, thanks so much. That is Ellen Dearden. She's with AgriView out of Morton, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday morning, the very first trading day in Chicago for the 2014 year. Let's take a look at some of the outside markets, see where they're headed at this point. February crude oil at $96.76 a barrel, down $1.67. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.74.7, down 3.8. And ethanol futures at $1.91.1. That's actually a settlement price. February contract trading, though, $1.82, that's 2.6 of a cent higher for the day. Natural gas at $4.31.8, up 8.8, and diesel fuel at $3.03.1 of a cent per gallon. That's down 3.3 of a cent. It's the top of the hour. You're listening to WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9. It's HD3 Urbana.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, as we head into the newscast, just a reminder that snow has fallen and the roads are a bit slick on I-74 from the east coming, rather from the west, coming into Champaign-Urbana. Roads are slick enough that in the last hour, a few of the cars have managed to run off the road. So be careful as you're making your way into work on this morning or wherever you happen to go. Be safe for the day, and we look forward to having you with us all the way through the afternoon right here at Illinois Public Media.